Welcome to Ohomani Iotaka. I am your host, Donna Hawkes, and of course we are reading Hummingbird Squash. Last week, Coyote the Trickster ate right through one of the giant pumpkins that Ariana and Hummingbird had planted, and they grew so fast and so big they just can't believe their eyes. And so here comes Coyote right out of the pumpkin, and they're all looking at him like, what is he doing? And they're kind of afraid of him. And then all of a sudden he gets into a burping contest with Boomer and they have this great burping contest, and of course Coyote wins. So here we are again, and let's get started with this week's program. Rain told Ariana about the day the eagle showed up at an old tree stump near Salt Lick Creek. I was fishing that afternoon. I looked over at the old tree stump, and there he was. He looked kind of bummed out. I thought there was something wrong, so I went over and looked at him up close. That's when he started talking to me. He said lots of things had changed on our res, like people were just sitting around and kids were playing indoors too much and eating junk food. All that inactivity can make people unhealthy, maybe even get sick with type 2 diabetes. He said we needed to go back to our traditions, eating the food our ancestors ate and working and playing the way they did. Then he said he had to go, but he would be back the next day to tell me more stuff. That's when I brought Boomer with me. Oh man, Boomer said. I remember it like it was yesterday. His wings were so huge. He started right off telling us to get moving. So we were running around and leaping and jumping all over the place. Remember that, R.D.? Rain laughed. Oh yeah, we were totally bonkers. But it made him really happy, Boomer went on. Then he taught us a song about moving our bodies and played a game with us. Didn't you think a talking eagle was a little strange? Ariana said. Not really, Rain answered. Maybe because we were little. It just seemed normal. The next day, Hummingbird said, Rain brought Simon and me to meet the eagle. He invited this rabbit to talk to us. She was really cute with these big floppy ears. Mostly, she gave us the lowdown on healthy foods and vegetables. Looking at Boomer, she teased. She had a hard time with Boomer, but she finally convinced him. Vegetables weren't always my favorites, Boomer admitted. The last day the eagle came, Rain continued. He brought the rabbit and this coyote, too. Was it the same coyote that we saw today? Ariana asked. Hummingbird and Boomer nodded. The coyote tried to trick us into eating some cookies he'd stolen, Simon said. I think he was trying to teach us about tricky snacks. Like somebody says they're good, but they really aren't. Simon smiled at Hummingbird. He was warning us in a funny way, but Bird told him off anyhow. Yeah, Bird remembered. He said he wouldn't trick us again. Figuring that everyone had had their say, Rain said, after that, we didn't see the animals again, not until the beginning of this school year. No longer angry, Ariana asked, Rain, have you ever told anybody else about the eagle, rabbit, and coyote? When we talked about the animals, our parents just thought we were pretending or playing. Then later, as we got older, we realized that we had been honored by something very special. That's when we stopped talking. So yes, you're the first person we've told. Are you afraid to tell other people? No, it's not that, Ariana. And, it's like we're the only ones who have this knowledge. For sure, we're not afraid to tell people what the eagle told us. Looking for support from the others, Rain said, I think we kept it to ourselves because the eagle chose us for some important purpose. Yeah, he picked us, Bird said. But we're not totally sure why. Remembering the coyote spying on Hummingbird, Simon gave Rain and Boomer a guarded look. What was the coyote doing in the garden? Boomer couldn't wait to tell. Man, I wish you guys could have seen him. He'd been eating one of these big squashes. Oh yeah, you gotta see these things. Bird made the mother of all fertilizers. They're huge. Anyway, he did this big burp, so I burped back. We were burping back and forth, and then he just blew us away. It was the coolest trick in the world. Way better than the elephant's toothpaste. Bird's antenna went up. She turned on Boomer. What did you mean better than the elephant's toothpaste? Realizing he'd spilled the beans, Boomer hemmed and hawed. Hummingbird was instantly suspicious. Did the coyote cause the explosion? Was he tricking me into doing that stupid stuff? Rain spoke up. The coyote was in the picture that Sammy took with her cell phone. He was watching you from the hill behind the school. He had a pair of binoculars. We would have told you before, but we thought it just might make things worse. It's been him all along, Hummingbird wailed. He's been tricking me. He's not always up to something bad, Rain said, trying to reassure her. He helped us before. He helped Grandma. I know he did. He tricked the fossil poacher. Hummingbird went silent, contemplating her fate as the butt of coyote's jokes. Obviously, she thought, the coyote's promise not to trick them was limited to preventing diabetes. He felt just fine about other kinds of tricks. Keeping an eye on Bird, Rain turned back to Ariana. Anyway, now you all know it. Wow, no wonder you guys know everything about type 2 diabetes. And now because of you, Simon said, we know about type 1 diabetes too. Unable to contain his curiosity any longer, he pointed towards the garden. Do you mind if we take a look at the plants now? I'd like to see these jolly green giants. Guarding gardens. That night, Hummingbird and Ariana talked late into the night. Bird was totally whacked out about the coyote. She suspected that the trickster had something to do with the squashes growing so fast, but she wasn't sure. The girls decided that the best thing to do was check it out with Miss Swallow. The next morning, Hummingbird stopped off at the science teacher's classroom and described the miraculous growth of the jolly green giants, as Simon was now calling them. Miss Swallow said she'd never heard of seeds sprouting and producing fruit so quickly. She invited Bird to join her at her computer. Then they went web searching. Well, Hummingbird, this site says giant pumpkins can gain 30 pounds in one day. But Miss Swallow, they were just sprouts the day before. Besides, the plants weren't even from the seeds we planted. I don't know what they were. The leaves look like squash. Miss Swallow frowned and shook her head. She was stumped. Bird, I'd like to visit your garden. I want to see these plants for myself. Hummingbird and Miss Swallow agreed to take a trip out to Aunt Chick's on Thursday afternoon. Miss Swallow wanted to photograph the plants and gather samples. A thorough scientist, she would try to gather as much information as she could before the visit, which is what prompted her to call Alfred Badger to her desk during first period. Miss Swallow knew that Alfred's father had experimented with various fertilizers, trying to speed up the growth of sunflowers and other produce that he grew commercially. "Alfred, has your dad ever used any fertilizer that could cause cucumbers or squashes to double or triple their size in just a few hours?" Looking surprised, Alfred said, "I don't think so, Miss Swallow. That sounds pretty impossible. But if there's anything you want to know about manure and compost, Dad can fill you in." Miss Swallow laughed. The growth-inducing properties of manure really wasn't her thing. Turning on the overhead projector for today's lesson, she said casually, "Actually, I'm asking because Hummingbird has been trying to grow some super-sized vegetables. She had some interesting effects from the fertilizers she's using." Chris Sarle, who was always in the first period science class, saw Alfred talking to Miss Swallow. When he returned to his seat, Chris leaned across the aisle and asked what the teacher wanted. Alfred laughed. For years he had heard his father griping about the Sarles always winning the blue ribbon for the biggest pumpkin at the harvest powwow. Seizing the opportunity to give Chris a jab, he said, "Hey, Chris, tell your dad he's got competition. Hummingbird's growing some giant pumpkins or something. You just might get beat this year." Alfred smiled when he saw Chris's face darken. His punch had landed. "So where's she growing these pumpkins?" Alfred decided to draw out the fun. "She and her pals have been hanging out at her Aunt Chick's. They're probably growing them on her place somewhere." Smirking, he said, "That's across from our place, you know." Chris ignored Alfred. He would deal with him later. He also ignored Miss Swallow and the class's preparation for their C classification lab. All he could think about was Hummingbird. What was she up to now? She was like a whack-a-mole game. You bang her head down in one hole and she pops up through another. When the bell rang, Chris rushed out into the hallway and headed for Tater Tot's locker. He had a plan. He would round up Tater Tot and Dump Truck, and they would do a little scouting at Aunt Chick's after school. They'd find out what Hummingbird and the Greenies were growing. Chris was almost at Tater Tot's locker when he saw that his toady had a visitor. Was that Ariana? Hummingbird's friend? Chris drew back against the hallway wall and waited for the girl to leave. Then he slid up silently behind Tater. "What were you doing with that little Miss Ding Ding?" Tater Tot didn't look at Chris. He finished arranging the stuff in his locker. Then he pulled out his lunch bag and slammed the door shut. Looking up, he said in a quiet voice, "She wants to show some of my drawings to Miss Corn. They're looking for somebody to do cartoons for the Thunderbird." "I got something for us to do this afternoon, and it's not any of your cruddy drawing. You better be there." "Sorry, my mom's coming to get me. I won't be around." "Don't be running out on me again, Tater," Chris threatened. "Not like you did before." Chris turned away and tramped to the lunchroom looking for Dump Truck. He wasn't there. For once, his frequent in-house suspension was not a bad thing. Chris would have to do his dirty work on his own. That afternoon, Chris got off the bus 2 stops early. He turned down Old Agency Road and headed toward Alfred's house. He passed by a few horses and cows he guessed belonged to Aunt Chick. Their pasture showed no evidence of giant pumpkins, nor did the yellowing fields of dried corn stalks reveal any garden patches. Puzzled, Chris stopped and looked around. waving off swarms of gnats that flitted about in the late day sun. Where was Hummingbird hiding the pumpkins? That's when he spied the red fence behind Aunt Chick's old ranch house. He headed in that direction. Skyheart had been curiously watching Chris from a nearby power pole. Being suspicious of the boy, the eagle flapped into the still air and flew toward the fence. Circling above, he looked down into the garden. Were those big blobs what Chris had come to see? Maybe Thistle knew something about them. He banked away and flew the short distance to Thistle's nest. Landing in front of her brushy house, the eagle rustled his wings, announcing his presence. Thistle called out to him from inside her enclosure. "Give me a moment, Skyheart." "Thistle, please hurry. It's the boy, Chris. He's headed toward Hummingbird's garden. I thought you ought to know." Thistle's head popped out from the nest. "You mean Coyote's garden, don't you? Did you see the big green fruits?" When Skyheart nodded, she went on, "They're coyote squash. He grew them for his own eating." "Oh, he's up to tricks. You should have seen him having fun with Hummingbird and her friends yesterday." "Something tells me Chris is up to no good." "Gardens are my territory, Skyheart. I'll go down there and see what's going on. Watch the bunnies. They shouldn't be much trouble. They're sleeping. Oh, and back me up if I need it." By the time Thistle had hopped down the hill, Chris was peering in the windows of the shed. Because the small building couldn't be seen from Aunt Chick's house, Chris had no fear of discovery. He pushed open the door and glanced inside. The work table immediately drew his attention. He made a quick inventory of the equipment and plant nutrients. However, it was the stack of articles on growing giant vegetables that told the tale. Chris rummaged through the photocopies quickly. "So," he thought, "she's not just interested in pumpkins. She's trying to grow everything big." Chris stomped out of the shed. This wasn't turning out the way he had planned. When he put people down, they stayed down. Fall as his mood was, it wasn't as bad as a disgusting smell that seemed to be coming from the area enclosed by the red fence. Pinching his nostrils, Chris headed for the garden. Tiring quickly of the gate's tug of war, he kicked it open. At first, all he could see was green. Then the stink hit him. Chris gagged. The plants reeked like a locker room of stinky socks and sewage. Despite the tangle of pointing triangular leaves that would have discouraged most intruders, Chris pushed his way into the dense growth. In the 24 hours since the big burp off, the plants had taken over the garden. Chris discovered the gravel path around the vegetable patch and followed it. He came upon some crushed leaves that looked like an animal's bed and the empty skin of the squash Coyote had eaten. Beside it, another huge green striped globe had taken its place. Chris squatted down to examine it. It reminded him of a gourd, but its size was awesome. But true to his nature, Chris's sense of fascination and wonder was soon overcome by envy and resentment. The gourd, or whatever it was twice as big as anything his family had grown. Hummingbird, that stupid girl, had discovered a way to win every giant pumpkin contest in the world. His heart thumping, Chris crashed about in the jungle growth, looking for something that he could use to smash the monster fruit vegetable. He found an old axe handle leaning up against the fence. He picked it up and slapped it against his open palm. This would work fine. He would pulverize her giants. A sudden movement in the undergrowth alerted Chris that he wasn't alone. Watchfully, he made his way back to his intended target. He was very surprised, to say the least, to discover a rabbit sitting on top of it. Waving his arms, Chris yelled, "Shoo!" But Thistle didn't budge. She just stared at him. Somewhat unsettled by this unusual behavior, Chris hesitated. Chiding himself, he thought, "So, you're afraid of a rabbit now?" Chris sniggered. "Okay, bunny wabbit. Stay where you are and get whacked." He raised the axe handle. Thistle stood up on her hind legs and waved her paws over her head. Then she began to turn in a circle. The old girl hadn't pulled a trick in many a year. She was rusty, but she still had the memory. She just needed a minute to get her trickster groove on. Chris's mouth fell open. Was she dancing? Thistle stopped her twirling. She fixed her eye on Chris and spoke in a low, menacing growl. "I wouldn't do that if I were you." Scared silly, Chris staggered backwards and fell into a dank nest of leaves. Dropping the axe handle, he clutched at the mass of tendrils and stems, trying to pull himself up. The hairs on the stem's rough surface chafed against his face and arms, already damp with sweat. He began to itch madly. Gaining his feet, Chris bolted for the gate. Once he had escaped the garden, he tugged off his shirt and slapped it wildly at his arms, trying to remove the prickly hairs. But they were burrowed deep into his skin. Hollering gibberish, Chris ran like a crazy man toward the road, wiggling and pawing at his face. Thistle hopped over to the fence post where Skyheart had perched, observing the whole performance. Looking up, she said, "Is he gone?" Skyheart nodded. "Running like a turkey. Sorry I left the nest. I thought he might hurt you." "Oh, Skyheart," Thistle said, "you know I have a few tricks up my sleeve." Still watching Chris, the eagle observed Thistle in his side vision. He smiled. "So, you used your power, Thistle. It's been a long time." "Yes, I didn't want him to destroy the squashes, but all I could manage was a scary voice and," she giggled, "an itchy rash."
"A bad rash?"
"No, it'll be gone in an hour. My power is weak, Skyheart." Chris ran away, but the effect won't last. He'll be back. Pointing to her left ear, Skyheart said, "Your power may be stronger than you think." Thistle reached up and felt her ear. It was standing up straight. Laughing, she said, "Oh, the old power. I'm a wild rabbit now." Pulp and seeds. The next morning at school, Chris stood staring at his reflection in a mirror in the boys' restroom. He squeezed a small dollop of cortisone cream on his finger and dabbed it on the reddened skin under each eye. Thankfully, the itching had gone away after a shower, but his eyes looked like he'd been crying. Chris tried out several tough guy faces in the mirror. He'd dare anybody to say anything about his weepy eyes. When Thistle's little whammy had worn off the night before, Chris's bravado had returned. He convinced himself that the talking rabbit was the result of bad bologna sandwich he'd eaten for lunch. Determined to smash Hummingbird's garden, he recruited his brother Melvin, who was only too glad to lend a hand. Now he just needed some help from his toadies. Tater Tot was nowhere to be found, but Chris managed to rope in the unlucky dump truck. His other recruit was Freddy,
sometimes told, that was scared to death of Malvin and Jesse. Chris had originally tapped Lester, but he had the misfortune to ask, "Who died?" pointing to a tear rolling down Chris's face. Immediately after school, Malvin picked up the demolition crew and they drove out to Aunt Chick's property. Chris wanted to get there first before Hummingbird or any of her friends. Malvin parked his truck behind a stand of cottonwoods and gave each boy a baseball bat. The trespassers approached the garden along a little rise behind it, rather than from the road. They actually passed within 10 feet of Thistle's nest. Chris didn't bother to tell Dump and Freddy why they were destroying the plants, only that he wanted them gone. As they drew nearer to the garden, Freddy said, "Do you smell something funky?" Dump Truck laughed and whispered, "I thought it was Malvin." Freddy started to laugh, but stifled it. Keeping an eye on Chris and his brother, he whispered back, "Hey, Big D, I wonder what we're going to do with these bats. Do you think we could get in trouble?" "Yeah, maybe." The two reluctant vandals saw Chris up ahead, standing beside the garden gate. He waited for them to catch up. "Okay, there's a bunch of super stinky plants in there. Some kind of really big squash or gourd. We're going to find everyone and beat them to a pulp. Got it?" Freddy stood up on his toes, trying to see over the fence. "Yeah, I guess. What's Malvin doing in that shed?" Chris laughed. "Don't ask." Just then, the boys heard the sound of shattering glass and banging metal. Freddy asked anyway, "That must be Malvin, huh?" Chris ignored him. He was squirting a tube of white cream on his face. "What are you doing that for?" Dump Truck wanted to know. Rolling down his sleeves, Chris smirked. "Don't worry about it. Come on." The boys followed Chris into the garden. It wasn't hard to spot the squashes. Overnight, they had continued to grow. Each one must have weighed 300 pounds. Chris began pounding on one that was growing near the gate. Its shell was immature and still tender. Yellow flesh, seeds, and liquid sprayed from the gigantic wounds that Chris inflicted on the young behemoth. Dump Truck and Freddy followed Chris's example. Over the next 30 minutes, they battered, hammered, and crushed. Occasionally, they heard loud thumping and what sounded like splintering wood coming from the shed. When they had finished liquefying the squashes, Malvin joined them to complete the job. Holding up an axe he found in the shed, he said, "Okay, who wants to chop up the vines?" Chris pointed at Dump Truck. "He does." Panting and wiping sweat off his forehead, Dump Truck reached for the axe. "Okay, give it to me." "Say please," Malvin grinned. Dump Truck gritted his teeth. "Please." The bigger boy shoved the axe at him. Dump Truck glanced away and started chopping at the vines with a vengeance. He didn't want Malvin to see the tears of humiliation in his eyes. Then Chris, Malvin, and Eddie provided the final insult by stomping the leaves into the ground. An appalling stench rose from the crushed greenery. It grabbed the back of the throat like something dead. Dump Truck was still hacking at a couple of vines when he realized that the others had stopped. He looked up. "Are we done?" Malvin laughed. "Yeah, we're done. Hummingbird squashes won't be winning any ribbons this year." The brothers gave each other a fist bump. It was a great day for bullies. The boys rounded up their baseball bats and headed back to Malvin's truck. Dump Truck tramped along with his head down. He said nothing, but his mind and spirit were anything but quiet. Riding in the back of Malvin's pickup, he realized that something important had happened back there in the garden. A metamorphosis had begun. He didn't really understand how he had become a toady, but he was sure of one thing. He didn't want to be one anymore. All right. That is the end of our reading for today. Chris is still up to his bullying and even bullying other boys to join him in his destructive behaviors. And, you know, for one, he's not liking it. He doesn't like the way it makes him feel. And he feels bad about what he did. And he feels bad about being bullied like that, as anyone should. So we're done for today for our reading of Hummingbird Squash. And I want to say pidamia to all the listeners out there. And hopefully the young people are listening, and maybe the parents or caregivers are listening with the little ones. And I appreciate you coming to your radios or listening in the car, wherever you're listening. I appreciate that. It's always good to listen to storytelling. So, as always, I wish you a week full of good health and happiness. And I want to say, join me again next week for Ohomani Iotaka. I am your host, Donna Hawkes. And Doksha Ake, we will meet again next week. This program is made possible through funding from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting.